Adventures in Research. Suppose someone asked you about the circumference of the Earth. Easy, huh? About 25,000 miles around. All well and good. But suppose no one had measured it first. How would you find out the circumference of the Earth? This is the story of the first man who did, some 2,200 years ago, and he never left town to do it. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of the first man to measure the Earth. Even the earliest civilized man wondered about this Earth he lived on. What was it like? How big was it? Where was it in space? The ancient Babylonians thought the Earth was a flat disk. Others claimed it was a curved saucer. And the Hindus of ancient India said...
Tell me about the Earth, Vishnu.
The Earth is a bowl, upside down, my son.
And tell me, Vishnu, what supports this bowl?
It rests on the heads of four giant elephants.
And the elephants, what supports them?
The elephants stand on the shell of an immense tortoise.
And the tortoise, on what does he stand?
The tortoise? My son, it is not written.
But the ancient Greeks had other notions of the Earth, rightly considered it a round ball of matter suspended in space. Pythagoras and Aristotle had argued for its spherical shape, and information about the Earth began to appear in writings in the great libraries of the day. And perhaps the greatest was at Alexandria, to which, in 247 B.C., a man named Eratosthenes was named librarian.
Remarkable. Remarkable. I had no idea I would be in charge of such a library.
It is unquestionably the finest. But the library is only a part of the Royal Museum, the center of learning in all the world. Come, let me show you the lecture rooms, halls, exhibition rooms and reading rooms, and the quarters for resident and visiting lecturers. They are everything one could desire.
I am much impressed with the library alone. When the great Ptolemy Euergetes appointed me, he said there must be over 700,000 volumes.
Well, do not try to read them all, Eratosthenes.
No, but I am anxious to see what writings are available on the subject of geography.
Well, whatever your learnings, you will find ample food to feast on here at Alexandria.
And here it was that Eratosthenes presided, and 2,200 years ago drew a map of the world, a rather amusing map to us in the 20th century. The continent of Africa was squeezed into one corner, and India pushed into a square adjoining Persia. But in the upper left-hand corner were islands, Britannica and Hibernia. So, 2,200 years ago, scholars were aware of the British Isles, of India, and even Iceland, which stood like a dot in the center of the map. But even though it is all out of shape, though it bears no resemblance to maps as we know them, this map was a very important one, as Eratosthenes explained.
Well done. Yes, my friend. You have drawn with a seemly hand. May I ask, what are these lines you have drawn through it?
Those seven east-west lines I call parallels. Huh? I have named them, you see. Here is the parallel of Rhodes. Yeah? Here the parallel of Alexandria. Now, any other town through which this line runs must lie exactly east or west of Alexandria.
Yes, most ingenious. But what about these lines that run the other direction, north and south?
Meridians, I call them. Huh? I have named them also. This one, the meridian of the Pillars of Hercules. You note it runs through the Straits of Gibraltar. This one, the meridian of the Ganges, and so on.
Yeah, interesting. Very. You have partitioned off the world into little squares.
With such a map, with the aid of parallels and meridians, one can easily locate one's position relative to some known point. And also one can find distances. If place A is so far from place B, then place C, an equal distance on the map, must be the same distance.
Most ingenious, Eratosthenes.
I was hoping you might join me next month in making a larger map, which could show...
I regret, my friend. Much as I would like, I shall not be here.
Huh?
No, for tomorrow I begin my journey to Aswan for the summer solstice.
What is there in Aswan?
Oh, have you not heard of its fabulous well? Aswan lies near the first cataract of the Nile, and it has a certain freshwater well, which is a marvel to behold. For exactly on the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, the sun illuminates the bottom of the well. I want to observe this. Otherwise, Eratosthenes, I would be most happy to help you.
Then go. Look into your sunshine well. I have more important matters to concern myself.
As Eratosthenes worked with his parallels and meridians, he also pondered a greater question, the size of this earth on which we live. Now, this was a sizable task to tackle 2,200 years ago and with no real knowledge of the world. But as Eratosthenes sat drawing his lines on the map, an idea struck him.
If the earth is a sphere, then these lines I am drawing must form circles, and a circle is 360 degrees. Now, if I could measure the length of a single degree, I could multiply by 360, and the answer would be the size of the earth.
But that was the crux of the problem. How could he measure the distance equivalent to any given number of degrees? Eratosthenes sought out an astronomer, and this sage of the heavens gave him an idea.
Now you see, the sun swings north and south from season to season. The sun reaches its lowest point at the winter solstice, the first day of winter, and then begins its journey north. It crosses the equator 3 months later, and on that day, the days and nights are of equal length. Then on it travels farther and farther north until it reaches its peak at the summer solstice. It then starts its journey back to the south. That is what gives us our seasons.
I understand that, my wise friend. But here at Alexandria, the sun in its travels never gets straight overhead, does it?
No. We have calculated its position. On its northernmost move, the day of the summer solstice, it is 7 1/5 degrees south of straight overhead.
7 1/5 degrees south of straight overhead. On the day of the next summer solstice, would you help me make a few measurements of...
Oh, no, I cannot. The day of the summer solstice, I must be in Aswan at the first cataract of the Nile. The most amazing well.
I have no time for wells.
But it is most interesting.
To you, perhaps. But a well in Aswan means nothing to me. I want to measure the earth. It is a tremendous circle, this globe on which we live. Around it are my imaginary lines. These lines, too, are circles. Now, if a circle is 360 degrees...
Yes, yes. So you have explained to me, Eratosthenes, 10,000 times. 10,000 times 10,000.
If my discussion bores you, I shall not subject you to it any longer.
Nay, rest a while. I merely meant...
No, I leave. If a well in Aswan holds more interest for you than the size of this sphere on which we live, I have no more to say. Farewell, Borosthenes.
Eratosthenes was irritated. He drew his maps, traced the lines upon them, but they no longer held his interest. All he could think of was measuring the earth to find its size. And he could do it right here in Alexandria if only he could find one point of measurement. He drew another line.
Oh, I pressed too hard. The stylus is broken. I'm not concentrating, that's all. If only I could get my mind to the task at hand. Now, let me see. I draw the line running north and south, starting here at Alexandria, through Throbus, then Aswan. Aswan. And it's infernal well. I have heard enough of that. So it is on the same meridian as Alexandria, exactly south of here. But my mind wanders. What was it they said about that accursed well? Oh, what did they say?
Have you not heard of the fabulous well there? On the first day of summer, the longest day of the year, the sun illuminates the bottom of the well.
Illuminates the bottom of the well. Hold a bit. If the sun does this, then it has to be directly overhead. And if it is overhead at Aswan, and it is not overhead here in Alexandria... Borosthenes! 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 Borosthenes!
Yes, yes, I am here. You seem quite exhausted with your shouting, and you have disturbed every scholar.
Let them be disturbed. I have it. I have it.
Please, it must wait. Even now, I am waiting for the safari to Aswan.
Exactly, Aswan. Look, is it true that at high noon, the first day of summer, the sun shines directly into the well?
Of course it does. One of the greatest phenomena of all time.
Then at Aswan, the sun is directly overhead.
On the day of the solstice? Of course. How else would the sun shine down to mirror itself on the water? If you do not believe me, then pray come along.
Nay, hear me out. On the first day of summer at Aswan, the sun is shining directly overhead. But on that exact same day, the sun at Alexandria...
The sun at Alexandria has nothing to do with it. I swear, Eratosthenes, one moment you care to hear nothing about the well at Aswan, and the next minute...
Nay, merely tell me what you did before. The sun at Alexandria, even at its northernmost swing, it does not get directly overhead.
No. As I have said...
But how far does it come? To what degree does the sun approach overhead at its noon zenith on the first day of summer?
I have told you before, Eratosthenes, 7 1/5 degrees.
7 1/5 degrees. Are you certain?
Certain? You doubt the word?
No, I doubt nothing. Borosthenes, I have measured the earth.
You speak in riddles. You're mad.
Nay. If the sun is directly overhead at Aswan and is 7 1/5 degrees south of its zenith at Alexandria, then Alexandria and Aswan are 7 1/5 degrees apart.
Eratosthenes, I have no more time nor patience. I am to journey to Aswan, and the trip is 500 miles and...
500 miles? Then it is simple mathematics. I know that Aswan and Alexandria are on the same meridian. I know their distance is 7 1/5 degrees. I know this is 1/50th of a circle of 360 degrees. Now, if Alexandria is 500 miles from Aswan, this is 1/50th of a circle.
I still do not comprehend how you can measure the Earth.
The Earth is 25,000 miles around.
And that was how Eratosthenes measured the earth 2,200 years ago and did it without ever leaving Alexandria. And any schoolboy knows how close he came. He overlooked a few factors, made one or two slight errors that happily canceled each other out. History tells us that Eratosthenes died in the year 194 BC, famous as a maker of maps. And although his maps did not stand the test of time, the fame of Eratosthenes did, thanks to a most unusual adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.